Well, good morning, church.
If you attend here regularly, you know that every year we have what we call a gifts discernment process in which people are invited to share their gifts in the church in a whole variety of ways. And so on our committee, we decided, and Les chairs this committee, thank you, Les, for doing that, we decided that we should have kind of a special Sunday where we, in a sermon at least, focus on this. So that's what we're doing. So this morning, I'm going to begin this part of our sermon, and then Les will conclude our sermon together. And I'll talk a little bit more about Ephesians. I will actually venture to talk a little bit about Matthew 25 also. And then Les will also work with the nuts and bolts of how this works. So the text that I chose is from Ephesians. That's the main text that I want to work with this morning. But I also chose the Matthew text because, as Conrad noted, it actually sounds kind of harsh, you know, like weeping and gnashing of teeth if you don't use your gifts you have that God gave you, right? So I don't think Les is going to go there this morning, probably not. But still, it's a reminder for us of this, I think, of the seriousness that the fact that God has given us gifts. And what are they for? Well, Ephesians tells us very well what they're for, right? So that's what we want to do this morning. So if you look at it, turn in your Bibles to Ephesians 4. Paul urges us, verse 1, as a prisoner of the Lord, urges us to live a life worthy of the calling that we have received. Not the calling that we've created for ourselves, but the calling that God has given to us. And then he sort of sets this context for how we do this. And it's in verse 2. It's humility, it's gentleness, it's patience, it's bearing with one another in love, making an effort to keep, every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And then Paul goes into this sort of statement about the whole point of this. And it's about unity. And is this unity that we create? No. It's the unity that God has given to us. And 7 times Paul uses the word one. 7 times. And what is it? It's one body. It's one spirit. It's one hope. It's one Lord, it's one faith, it's one baptism, it's one God, one Father of us all, who is over all and through all in all. So there's no greater relationship that we can have, is the point here, I think. There's no greater relationship, there's no greater identity, there's no greater character, there's no greater point in life than we can have, than to live into the unity that is found in these 7 things. This one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. That's the basis of the unity that we have. It's not something we create. It's not some idea we have or some conviction we have. It's given to us. This unity is given to us by God in these 7 things. This is Paul's argument here, Paul's teaching to us. Now, we all know that we're different. Physically, we're different. Our faces are different. Our ears and nose and eyes, and whether we're tall or thin or all of the other characteristics that we know about and that we recognize in each other just by looking at each other, we know we're all different. That's how we recognize each other, right? It is said that, in fact, each of the, 7 billion people in the world now or something are actually different, where you could actually tell the difference between 7 billion people. That's pretty amazing when you think about it. 7 billion, right? That's amazing, that kind of difference. So we have these differences. Our abilities are different also. And whether we're natural born children, whether we're adopted, whether we're sisters and brothers or our parents or our cousins, we all know that we're all different. And we treat each other a little differently also. Even parents who have children we kind of learn to be a little bit different with some of the children, right? They may not like that or may not always understand it, right? I mean, I'm a child, and so I didn't always understand why my parents, I thought, treated my brothers and sisters different from me, but that's just how things are in life. Our salvation story is the same kind of thing. All of us have a different salvation story and a walk with God. That is a little different from other people. And we recognize. And the problem then is that sometimes we start to think, well, they have a better salvation story than I do, or they have a better testimony than I do, or they're able to do certain things in the church that I can't do or don't do. And so that can make us feel inferior sometimes, or superior maybe sometimes. The point, though, is, and this is the point, God has given us different gifts in the church. Maybe people have, like the Matthew 25 passage, there may be people that seem to have a lot of gifts. There may be people that don't have so many difference. But what's the point? The point is to use them to give them back to God through giving them back to the church. They're given to us by God, and our responsibility is the same, all of us. It's to give what we have back to God through the church. The other thing just to say here, too, is that the gifts don't always match a position. What Les is going to talk about, for instance, is we've got these committees, we've got positions in the church, we have people who do this and that and the other thing. They watch the church building, other people do Sunday school, other people do music, or any number of things in the church that don't always kind of add up to these five things that Paul lists later on in the verses. But God always calls us with humility and patience to live into the calling, the reality that God has given us and the gifts that God has given us. So there are a couple, just really two things that I want to say this morning. Is the first one is that the church has a role, and a pretty important role, in helping us uncover, unpack, and develop the gifts that God has given to us. Even to name the gifts sometimes that God has given to us. And I would hope that the Gift Discernment Committee and that whole process that they lead can be part of that discernment process of helping us uncover, unpack, reveal, develop, mature, and help us to live into the gifts that God is calling us. And then the other second point, I just want to talk a bit about how do we discern then the gifts and the calling that God has given to us, whether we, you know, the bag of gold that we have, or maybe God has given us, you know, just, I don't want to get too far with that Matthew 25 thing, but in other words, the things that God has given to us, how do we discern them and use them in the church? And there are three things there that I want to mention, and that is the affinity, or the ability, and the opportunity that the church provides us. So what's the role of the church in uncovering and confirming our gifts? Well, the first thing to say is that we don't call ourselves. It's not our call that we create. It's God's call in our life. God is the one that calls us. Verse 7 says, but each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. To each one of us, grace has been given. A gift has been given. That's what grace means. Charis means a gift. So the grace of God is a gift of God. We need to understand, each of you and I, each of us have to understand that we do have gifts. Some of us here this morning think we don't really have many gifts. We do. We, each of us, do. It says, each of us is given grace according to the grace of God. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, I think it's verse 10, Paul says, you are God's workmanship. Workmanship. You are God's workmanship. What that means, the word that is, the Greek word that he uses is poema, which is the word that we get the word poem from in English. Poema. It's a crafted work that God has actually done. I talked about 7 billion people. It's amazing that God has actually crafted 7+ billion people. And each person is a work of God, a created work of God. And we're one of those. So we're all God's poems, you might say. We're beautiful poems that God has created in order to do good works. None of us have made ourselves in the same way that none of us chose our parents or our cousins or our siblings or our children sometimes. Still, this is the context that God has given us. So here are several things to watch out for when we think about how the church can play a role in helping us. The church might confirm a call that we feel. They may call us to something that maybe we haven't even thought about. The church might slow us down. The church might help us to mature a little bit more. The church might even deny the thing that we thought was our gift. So we need to come to this process with humility and patience to develop the kinds of things that God has given to us. We need to mature in our gifts. Just as a carpenter or a cook or a nurse doesn't just immediately become a good carpenter or a good nurse, we need time and patience with the church to mature our gifts and to know how to exercise our gifts well. We need guidance and prayer and examples from other people to show us our gifts. You may be exercising a gift and you might have gotten some criticism for it. That's happened to me. Happened to anybody else here? Yeah, sure, of course it has. Right. What's that? What does that mean? What's going on there? Well, God is helping us mature, maybe slow down a little bit, maybe focus a little bit more, maybe show some more humility and understand that we are working as the church is calling us. And maybe that criticism, while it maybe could have been said a little better or something, maybe it's something that I need to hear at times, right? Or sometimes we see something in other people and we think, oh, that's so great, I want to do that too. Well, maybe. Maybe that's God is calling you that. But again, these things need to be tested with the church. I think over our lifetime, right? Over our lifetime. So I'm speaking to you if you're a younger person here. Over your lifetime, God develops. God works in the church to reveal and to help us unpack. If we're humble and if we're patient and willing to move into areas we might not even have thought were our gifts. And that happens too. Sometimes we say, well, I've never done that. I don't know if I could do that. Well, maybe other people are seeing things in you that you don't see in you and are helping you, want you to grow into that and mature into that. So do we need training? We need some training and development in our gifts. Sometimes other people know us in certain areas better than maybe we even know ourselves, right? So we need to learn how to work with music or celebrate recovery or do a visitation or teach a Sunday school class or serve on committees or lead a small group or work in homeless ministry or the food pantry or just any of the other things that we do as a church, both together as we worship but in our work in the community. Here's the thing. God gave us gifts for the church, not for our own egos, not for our own self-satisfaction, although that many times will come as we use them well. Verse 12 and 15 that Mim read describe for us the purpose of all of this. It's speaking the truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect. That's the church, the mature body of Christ. See, when you give your gifts to the church, you're helping the church become the mature body of Christ that is held together by Christ. And Paul goes on to develop that more. So, number two, how do we discern then our gifts and our calling? So, affinity. I'm thinking of the word affinity. So, what kind of God does work within us to develop desire and feeling like, yes, I can do that, or I want to do that or develop that. What kind of a desire or interest do you have? That is a good measure to start with. What kind of ministry are you attracted to? What feels natural to you? And how can this desire build up then the body of Christ? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves. How can we use that then, that desire, that interest, that feeling, to build up the body of Christ? How does it fit into existing ministries of the church, or existing programs of the church, or the doctrine of the church, or the habits of the church, right? How does that affinity need to be shaped and polished by other ministries and church ministries? How about ability? Well, do you have the ability to do that? I've heard of people who want to teach Sunday school, but just getting up even a Sunday school class just gives them the willies, you know? It's like the hibby-jibbies, right? I just don't know if I can do that. So do you have that ability, and can you develop that, right? All of us have those growing points that we need to take advantage of. Are you ready to grow and mature into your gifts and give it back to God and the church? So you might have ability, but you might feel inadequate or inexperienced. Okay, that's fine. But can we, in the power of God, move ahead in the things that the church is calling us to and that God is calling you to in these feelings and desires that you have? And then the opportunities. I've seen in churches, I've seen people who want to do certain things and yet they're alone. There's nobody else in the church that is interested in doing this. So they're left kind of, you know, like that solitary tree out in a desert kind of thing where there's no other trees around to help. Good idea, but it wasn't the right timing in the church, or there wasn't the right gifting in the church to do that thing that person wanted to do. Maybe something we need to pray about more and seek more discernment, or to come together in prayer with other people to talk about this calling that you have. And maybe there's questions we need to ask ourselves. Is my idea divisive in the church? Is my idea unifying in the church? Is it just part of my own personal feeling or thing? Or is it something that other people in the church share? Will this bring about greater unity of one Lord, one faith, and one baptism? So Les, I appreciate, I know the church appreciates your leadership in this committee, and look forward to you now sharing a bit more about how we can move into this process and join in this process. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, let me just say that there will be no weeping or gnashing of teeth, no casting out into outer darkness, based on how you do or do not fill out this form. Shortly, I'm going to ask for that part of the form to come up on the screens. I want to talk about that. But just let me offer a few reflections from my role as both as a member of this congregation and as chair of the Gift Discernments Committee. I was out walking this morning just as the sun was rising. It's a very special time. And I found myself asking, as I was walking the farm lane, where is God present here? Is it in the burning light that's appearing over the mountain horizon? Is it in this blade of grass that's bent over by the weight of the dewdrop hanging on the tip of the blade of grass? Is it in the red-winged blackbird that's chirping by the pond? And the question is, the answer is, of course, that God is present in all of this. We can't look at just one thing and say, well, that's where God is present. God is often referred to as the light, and so we could say, well, God is that, but God is also in that tiny little flower that nobody sees that's hidden under the blade of grass. And I look out on the congregation here, and I could ask the same question, where is God? Where do I see God? Each of you, each of us, are created in the image of God, as we've heard. And so in your face, I see God, but I see God more fully when I see all your faces together and we're part of a picture together. And I think that's what I want to bring to this gift discernment process. I was struck by the prayer that Conrad had us pray before the offering, and it's designed for offerings, but I thought this applies to our work here too. Let me just read it again. Gracious God, we thank you for gifts that belong not to us alone, but to all our sisters and brothers, since they too are created in your image. Let their need become our need. Let their hunger become our hunger, and grant to us also a portion of their pain, so that in sharing ourselves, we discover the Christ who walks with our brothers and sisters. So in giving of the gifts that God is giving us, we discover the Christ who walks with our brothers and sisters. So that is my goal. That is my prayer as we fill out this form, as we respond to this, that we see this as something that opens our eyes to Christ among us. If you could put the form up on the screen. So the first page is, and it's slightly different than the form we've had in the past, and it's in your mailbox, a yellow form. The first page is just inviting you to reflect on some calling you sense God is leading into, and how you would like you to use your gifts, your interests, your abilities, as Jim has mentioned, to build up and encourage your brothers and sisters. And again, I want us to see everything we do as something that is building up our brothers and sisters. I want to highlight the last one there. Other ministries you feel called to take part in or in through the church. Jim alluded to this. The gift discernment form and the boxes we fill out, the forms we fill out, is not written in stone. This is not the end of things. We want this to be a creative, dynamic process. So if there is something that you're feeling called to, write it down, and perhaps we can find out there are others who share that interest, who share that gift, who share that affinity, that calling, and something new can emerge. So, or it may be, you may write something down, and as Jim mentioned, the response might be, or the discernment might be, well, there's not time, or maybe now is not the right time, but let's find ways for you to work on this. If we go to the next page, this is, again, this looks a little different than last time, but hopefully it's clear. You can see who's currently serving in a given role when their term ends. And the part that says, I am willing to serve, that is not just limited to, let's just take Children's Sunday School Superintendent, for example. And it's not just, we're not all just waiting with bated breath, well, is Martha going to sign up for another term or not? This is for you to say, I am willing to put myself out there for the good of my brothers and sisters. The nominate part, you see someone who say, I think they would do well in this, and you could just write their name, but I would encourage you and invite you to, if there's someone you're thinking that I would like to see them, or I think they would have something to offer us in, whether it's Children's Sunday School Superintendent or Kids Club Sponsor, anything like that, to go to them and say, hey, call it shoulder tapping, hey, I think you would do well in this. I would like to support and encourage you in this role, rather than just writing their name down. So again, the form is in your mailbox. We're asking you to return it in 2 weeks, the April 28th. And again, I invite you to see this process of what are we doing? How does this enable Christ to be seen among us? How does this work that I'm doing in this little role, how does that complete the picture of God at work among us? So I invite you to enter this process, and I invite you to, again, to see what you're doing, what you're contributing is part of the larger whole, part of contributing to what God is doing among us. So thank you for praying, for discerning, for shoulder tapping. And I just want to highlight, too, we saw this morning a situation where someone stepped into a role that they hadn't planned on. So thank you, Zach, for stepping into the role of leading music. And sometimes gifts are discovered that way. And I'm thankful to be a part of the congregation where someone like Zach, a young person, can step into a role and there's space for him. So let's think about the space we want to give others into that role and what kinds of shoulder tapping you might do. Let me just share one story and then I'll close. A shoulder tapping. When I was a young boy, 8 or 9 or 10, I was remember one Sunday I was using the sermon time not to listen to the sermon but to draw on some paper, and afterwards, this dear sister behind me tapped me on my shoulder, literally tapped me on the shoulder, shoulder tap. And I was afraid that she was going to chastise me for not paying attention to the sermon, because that had happened before with another brother in the congregation. But she said, Les, she said, I noticed you drawing. She said, you know, the church can use people who draw. And there are church periodicals, and maybe someday you'll end up drawing for, what was it, On the Line? Anybody remember that? There was a periodical On the Line or something. So that's something we can do too. Seeing something, someone doing something that you may say, well, they're not paying attention, or that's not part of our ministry. Part of our discernment is, how can what I see happening in this person's life be used, be redirected, be developed for the good of what God is doing among us? So bless you in your prayers, your shoulder tapping, your discernment, and may God have all the glory. Amen.